And so we have a wonderful gospel to reflect on today. We have the story of our Lord in the midst of this great crowd, and he isn't just playing to the crowd. He isn't just talking to the numbers, because a person comes up to him who has a clear need, a clear desire to hear and to speak plainly. And so our Lord, in the midst of, you know, his great dissertation and the following and acclaim of people, he brings this man aside, the scriptures say. Mark says he takes him aside. And he does something very unusual. He takes his finger and he places it in the man's ear. And only one other time in Mark's gospel, he takes spit. You can doll it up, but that's what it is. And he places it on the man's tongue. Very unusual. And there's all kinds of reasons, I think, for an explanation to that. Writers have written for centuries about it. But what strikes me is that in the midst of his great encounter with all of these people around him, he has time for that one singular person who has a need. That's tough when you're in that public forum, to have an eye for that and to take the time to remove. I think also just the fact that he used spit is probably not a very pleasant thing. And I would presume somehow Mark is saying, you know, that out of the unpleasantness of our life, sometimes something beautiful happens. I would say most of the time, when there are some struggles in our life, if we're attentive, if we hang in there, something beautiful happens. But prescinding from all of that, what is the great teaching, the great thought in this incredible gift that our Lord gives us tonight? What will we take from this community for the week that's ahead? I guess we'll ask ourselves the question, do we hear? Do we really hear? And when we speak, where does that speech come from? Does it come from the external experiences of our life? Or does it really come from our heart, our soul? Well, here's two little stories to warm you up a little bit. Two older men were walking. One of them was bragging a little bit. He said, "I just purchased the most expensive hearing aid ever made. It was imported. It's guaranteed for life." And so the second man stood for a moment, looked at him and said, "What kind is it?" The first man answered, 2:05. Wake up, come on, stay with me, folks. Just testing you. What kind is it? 2:05. Two psychiatrists. Now, this is not a denigration in this great world of psychiatry, so don't come yelling at me after mass. I love psychiatrists. I even had one for a while. Two psychiatrists met me for a drink. They were meeting for a drink, these two great people. After a very long day, a very hot day, one is utterly wilted and exhausted. His hair is tousled, his face is drawn, his clothing is rumpled. His colleague, however, sitting across the table, is composed, smartly dressed, completely at ease. "For heaven's sake, Douglas," the first psychiatrist says incredulously, "how do you do it? I'm completely done in, and you look as fresh as a spring morning. How can you look so great and so composed after listening all day to people's problems, fears, angers, unhappiness, neuroses? There was a pause. And the second doctor, smugly sipping his highball, looked at his friend and said, "So who's listening?" So who's listening? Yeah. Isn't that our great challenge? It's my great challenge, I tell you. I have a mindset. And I know what you're going to say to me. Or at least I think I know what you're going to say. And even if you don't say it, I've already got an answer for what I thought you were going to say to me. I was thinking about this, especially in relationship to the last 2 weeks in the conventions. I know people from both sides of that great world. And I'd like to talk to see what they think. And I tell you, either they were looking at two different conventions or I wasn't listening. I'm not going to tell you where I was in this, but let me just tell you. If you talk to one group of folks on 1 week, I mean, my God, you would think they were at the gates of heaven. If you talk to somebody else that same week, you would think that anything that was said was absolutely crazy, wrong. They should be in hell, and vice versa. Now, you may not have felt that, but I hear it, and I see it, and I struggle with that. Someone said to me something last night when I was talking about this homily to Father David. He said that the number of people who have good friendships, not casual friendships, good friendships, who think differently than they do, has been diminished by 25% over these last 10 years. I think there's truth in that. We don't want to hear the truth. We want to hear what we want to hear because we know we're right. And we don't listen. We don't give each other the opportunity to explain and reflect and to think about and even possibly change our mind. Oh my God, how could that be? How could we ever change our mind? And so I think it's a real challenge for us, all of us, to honor and to respect and to listen, especially to listen to people who you are sitting right next to and love all of your life. Yeah. And there it is. To really listen. There is huge division in our world. I don't think it's always bad will. I just don't think we're willing to listen. To think that someone might have a differing opinion and could actually give us something that we haven't really thought about. I want you to think about that. I want to think about that. I think it might help us. And my last thought. It's from John Shea. Could you hold that for me, Eileen, for a second? Thank you. This is what he says about this gospel. This is one way we have been healed. Jesus, the healthy one, holds onto wholeness in a fractured world. He will not allow us to suck him into our sickness. Rather, he brings us to himself. He sticks his finger in our ears so that we cannot hear the outside and are guided to the spiritual center of our heart. And then he places his spirit in us. He unites us and unites our center with his center, which is open to God, the divine love. Through this union with the Holy Open One, our hearts are open. We can now hear and we can speak the Word of God. How often in our lives, when we meet people, people that are angry or people that are tough or people that are sick, and they suck us in. They suck us into the vortex of their own struggle, their own anger, their own anguish, their own disappointments, their own sickness. And we can become like that. We get sucked in to whatever it is. And then we respond and react like them. And sometimes we're not the one that's sucked in. We're actually the suckers. And we, the others, are the suckies. And they get pulled into whatever our attitude and our feeling is. And it's destructive. It is destructive. It's destructive of life. It's destructive of our own feeling. It's destructive of our spirits. So what we have here is the example of this Christ who we are asked to follow. Not just to look like him, not just to be nice, but to follow him. And what does he do? He refuses to get sucked into the deafness and muteness of people's lives. He heals them so that they then, you and I, can find the heart of the Holy One, and we too can walk in that peace. A peace that the world does not give. And so, my brothers and sisters, like Augustine, when he said he lived so much on the outside, and he searched and he searched and he searched for that happiness, and he could not find it because it was inside. It was in his soul, in his heart, in the love that God has created in us. That's where it is. So we've got a great gospel, I think, for this week. To be people who attempt as best we can to really hear what someone is saying to us. To look at them, first of all. Not, you know, to look at them. To take them aside. To listen. And to be people who bring healing into the lives with whom we share this way.
You hold my